You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, and oh yeah, even the international. We cover down on all of it. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. And you know what that means on a Wednesday afternoon. It's hour number three, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We do a little thing we call the Grand Council. And this is where I get together with two of my brethren in talk radio who do this for a living and do it. I've been doing it longer than I have. But let me just call the roll and make sure the Grand Council is present. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN's Cumulus Broadcasting Channel in Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Hello.
You are indeed. Welcome aboard. And then I got to look down south, and from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and also the editor-in-chief at 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right, Boomer, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-ba-da. All right, fellers. Tell you what, I'm going first this week. So, I mean, I can just imagine how many news stories can we have in one day. But I'm just gonna go with this one because it just broke like in the last hour. So, State Treasurer Young Boozer decided he was not gonna go ahead and just grant a loan to a troubled institution of higher learning, Birmingham Southern, and the judge just threw out Birmingham Southern's lawsuit in the last hour. What do you think? Is Birmingham Southern going away? And how do you feel about Young Boozer's decision, Jeff Poor?
I feel pretty good about the decision actually for him to not to deny this because they grossly exaggerated the health of their financial standing. It turns out they're over leveraged, and you know what? And then about time the higher education bubble burst. I'm sorry if it happens to Birmingham Southern first, but the gross excesses over time are finally catching up with these institutions, and it just so happens, I don't want to see this to become a thing where the state bails these guys out.
No, and they're a private school too. Why are we doing that with state tax dollars? I tell you what, I'll just throw it to Dale first, though. Go ahead, Dale.
I don't really have much of a problem with the loan, so to speak. I mean, if it's going to be paid back, great. If they have the leverage, the state can do it. But I still ask, why don't they go get this loan from a bank? It turns out they already have gotten a loan from a bank, and that may be part of the problem with some of this. But if I'm Jefferson County and I'm making the argument that it has a $70 million impact on my county every single year, maybe I come up with a way to loan them $30 million and I don't ask the people in Mobile and Dothan to do it.
You know, and it brings up a great point because at one point they were asking for, I think, $40-something million, and they wanted money from the county, from the city, Birmingham, and they also wanted money from the state. But they wanted just basically bailout money at first. At least, I mean, even though the legislature, in my opinion, kind of capitulated or caved on this, at least they turned it into a loan and gave full discretion to the state treasurer, who, by the way, I applaud him. I think he had to know this was going to make some people mad, and he did it. And he said, you know what? You don't qualify. And to Dale's point, oh, by the way, you've already got a $17 million loan to Service First Bank, and they don't want to subordinate themselves to you. So sorry for your luck. So Birmingham Southern, I hate it, but we may be seeing the here's the other thing. If they don't go under, then they were lying to us. That's going to be interesting. But there's that. Next question, Dale Jackson, what do you got?
What is your favorite piece of legislation that Mike Johnson passed, and how often were you talking about him on your show before this?
I reserved this question for y'all to see what angle you were going to take on Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. I look at it and think, well, it looks like we just hired Clark Kent. I hope he's really Superman because he's got the job. You know, I've never heard of him. Now, we just had Mo Brooks on a little while ago. He just called in. We got him on just momentarily after we started the show. And he told us he loves Johnson. He says, next to Jim Jordan, that's the best thing we could have done. I'm glad to hear that. We're hoping to get somebody else from the delegation on later in the show. But I don't know a thing about the guy. That's, I mean, not that I have to know about something about every member of the body, but still, I look at it and go, never heard of the dude, and now he's Speaker of the House. Jeff?
I know he was with the Alliance for Defending Freedom, constitutional lawyer type, and I think we heard a lot. If you heard from him, it would have been probably during the constitutional questions about impeachment. But, I mean, just because how many pieces of legislation did your congressman pass? That doesn't really isn't the mark of somebody's importance.
What's your own question, Dale? I mean, what are you thinking? You think we got a dud or we got a live wire?
Well, I got this giant board at my house. I keep track of at least the people in the four largest congressional districts in each state. Mike Johnson is in the fourth largest congressional district in Louisiana. And as I've been tracking, I don't know who he is. I have no idea. I'm just kidding. I have no clue. No clue who he is. No clue who he was. I'm hoping he's good, but I don't think it matters all that much in the grand scheme of things. From McCarthy to this guy, I think it's pretty much all negligible. They are going to be in charge of getting legislation to the floor, and that's important. Maybe there's some new attention directed to the power of that position at this point, but that's about what we can hope for out of this. I don't really have an answer to the question.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I've been to your house, and if you had a congressional tracking board, all I saw was wrestling poachers and beer cans. I didn't see anything of the sort.
But, well, I guess I'm going to let you broadcast from my studio.
I don't know, man. I mean, the bottom line is I don't know that I can point to a piece of legislation that was his, but I love Alliance Defending Freedom. I dig the fact that he was a constitutional scholar. Apparently, he's been very, very, you know, pro-Trump, and Trump even endorsed him, which can't hurt his bona fides with the grassroots. I mean, all said and done, and then I look at Mo Brooks, who, you know, called in and assuaged my concerns greatly by saying, no, we could not have done much better than this. So there's that. Jeff Poore, last question. What do you got?
Down here in Mobile, they're talking about bringing back the paddle. They haven't done it in 20 years, but bringing back corporal punishment. It's not illegal in Alabama, but there's a very hot debate about it. What do you guys think about in public schools return of physical discipline?
Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what I say about Boomer all the time. But I got no issue with it, man. I think there's going to have to be some... lawyer in me is going to say, all right, there's going to have to be some parental consent that corporal punishment is allowed. And then secondly, you're going to have a witness there so nobody ever can say, he took me in the office and just beat the crap out of me. But at the same time, I got no issue with the idea of call the coach, come up here with the paddle, the one that has the holes drilled in it so that it goes even faster. And then you know, three smacks because you did a thing. What do you think, Dale?
I don't hit my own kid. I think I might have a problem with someone else doing it.
Oh my gosh, that what I'm hearing right there is that Dale lacks discipline. That's what I hear.
No. Hey, my kid does not lack discipline. I can tell you that much right there. But it's done through fear, not through force.
So you don't. So basically, you've got an aversion to spankings, no matter where it is, whether it's at school or at home.
Well, I don't know if it's aversion. I've never felt the need I needed to actually hit him at any point. I could definitely see in about, I don't know, 11 years, he's 16, we're in the front yard with our shirts off fist fighting. I could see that happening, but I just haven't thought of a situation where I've needed to hit him yet. So if I don't hit him, I don't want anyone else hitting him either.
Okay, so...
I'd like first crack. How about that?
All right, so Jeff, your question, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, it's not always about you, Dale, but some kids need this kind of discipline here. So just because your child doesn't need to be spanked doesn't mean somebody else's child doesn't need it. So, I mean, like just think about the school at large here.
I'm presenting the point of view of most parents who don't smack their kid around.
But it's not about that. It's about discipline in school and not being there and trying to complete a place, have a place in public schools where your child doesn't have to be distracted by other children who can't behave.
All right, Jeffro, but you're a new daddy. How do you feel about it, as you personally, as a dad?
If they're getting paddled at school, they're getting paddled at home too. I mean, I'm not down on it at all.
And by the way, there was not a lot of what I would call paddling in my household. I raised two amazing kids who came out better than me. And we had a little bitty wooden spoon that Caitlin called a spanking spoon when she was little, but that was about the size of it.
Either one of you get paddled in school?
I never got paddled in school. I didn't have to, but I got threatened with a paddle once or twice. But I was the kid that my dad had to discipline several times.
My mom and dad would beat me regularly, and my dad did this whole "it hurts me when it hurts you," which is a lie. I don't believe any of that. But I just don't think at any point I really need to slap Grant around. I'm picking Grant up from chess camp right now. Grant, have I ever need to slap you around?
Slap you around is different.
It's not slapping you around. It's just a
slap
paddle.
You
I mean,
around.
Not,
holy this cow.
This is a daddy dearest here.
Dale Jackson, the bleeding heart liberal. This is what's wrong with society. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now while Dale restores his manhood, and we will come right back for round number two of the Grand Council. Corporal punishment in schools. I mean, if it's warranted, call the coach. Get out the paddle. That's what I say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Grand Council. Jeff Poer, Dale Jackson. We'll be right back. Righteous bump. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, like making it cool to be a conservative. And I'm back right now with the Grand Council. Jeff Poer from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. And just little old me. First question, next round is mine. So, all right. So the dude who thinks he's a chick, Sylvia Swain, did not get to become the first ever elected transgender member of the Alabama legislature. Failed last night in a state election. Anyway, here's my question. Outside groups flooded money into the state that were all about the idea of having a, you know, LGBTQ2IA+ acronym candidate. He ran on being a transgender candidate and yet took issue when his opposition pointed out that he was a transgender candidate. Is it fair game or is it not? If they're going to make something of it, is it or is it not fair game? Dale, you first.
Well, like you just said, the outside groups are supporting this person solely because of that particular position. She, he, they made this candidate see about whether Steve Marshall was an extremist because cutting the dog off of 8-year-old and saying you can't do that is a big deal. And he says, you can't do it. And she says, we should do it. So, yeah, I think that we should absolutely call him or they, whatever they want to be called, but we should also call them that in campaign literature.
Jeff Poer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's fair game if this is what you're going to raise money on. And I mean, name something else about Sylvia Swain that, you know, this is like we know less about Sylvia Swain's policies, positions than Mike Johnson. So other than being transgender, I mean, what's the point?
So, by the way, I got to give props to you guys, 1819 News. Every article you had on Sylvia Swain, you referred to him as a he. And
we heard from a lot of Sylvia Swain supporters about that.
Did
too.
You really?
Oh, nice. They were not. They are still flooding the mailboxes of 1819 News.
Let them flood it. Their candidate lost. All right, that was a quick one. I just had to bring it up, but props again to 1819 for that. So, Dale, question, what do you got?
Wouldn't Mike Johnson make a better transgender name than Sylvia Swain?
What kind of question is
question.
That? Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. How come they all sound like porn stars? What's this all about?
Go ahead.
All right. So, anyway, my actual question, which now I've forgotten what it actually is, is go to Jeff instead.
Jeff, what's your real question? What have you got for us?
Well, way to up the discussion, the level of discussion, Dale. But the Biden administration's got its foot on the brake with the ground invasion of Gaza, and they're even trying to persuade Netanyahu not to go through with it. What is going on here? Why does his predecessor Obama, why are they so enamored with an Iranian deal?
Because the Biden administration has no spine. What we're looking at right here is, and rather than moral outrage, they have moral equivalency. They want everybody to be okay with their position as opposed to worrying about what the position that Israel has to take. And I heard General Jack Keane say the other day, and I thought he was right. Somebody asked that same question of him, and he said, no one's going to tell Israel when they can and can't start this one because it's going to happen when they say it does.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Senator, because I think the Biden administration has tremendous leverage over Israel because if they I wouldn't be surprised if this were the case. Hey, you go into Gaza and you invade and you go on in on the ground, we're going to start withholding some armaments and some munitions coming your way.
Let them try it. I feel like Netanyahu, the same guy, Netanyahu, who stood for like 3 minutes in the podium of the UN General Assembly and stared at them before he even opened his mouth to speak, just to make a point. I feel like he's probably going to say, well, Mr. President, you can do that, and I will have a press conference. And it will definitely hurt your position during the election year. So I don't think there's really going to be that big of an issue. I mean, we just put two carrier strike groups within the region. So I think Israel is safe to proceed right now. They may be getting a slow roll on touchy feeliness, but I think that right now Israel's still going to have the right to go. Yeah, Dale, what do you got?
Biden's just courting anti-Semites, guys. Don't worry. The actual position of the American government is completely different. They just know that there's too many anti-Semites in the Democratic Party for him to be full-throated about it. But they know the score and what's up. It's about playing to the Ilhan Omars, the Rashida Tlaibs, the outward anti-Semites, the people too stupid to understand the situation like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and people like that. But they know what's up. I'm not worried about that at all.
All right. Well, Dale, with about a minute left, have you got that question back? Did it come back to your head?
Yes. Jeff Ford's old roommate, Kyle Whitmire at AL.com, best friends they are. That guy said, give Tommy Tuberville what he wants. Make him vote every single day. And, like, this was some sort of gotcha on Tommy Tuberville to get those promotions done. Would Tommy Tuberville actually care if they did that?
No, he's been asking for it. He's been telling them, look, bring it to the floor. I'll bring it. Tommy Tuberville tried to bring the chairman of the Joint Chiefs to the floor himself, and that's when we finally had Schumer run to the floor to do it because he realized that Tuberville had his number. Jeff?
Yeah, and there's no reason. I mean, they're not required attendance there. It's like if Tommy Tuberville comes and votes one day and he goes and plays golf the next day, nothing's going to happen to him. So it's just a kind of a dumb gesture from Kyle Whitmire.
Well, it's Whitmire, but hey, he is, by the way, you know, like a Pulitzer Prize winner or something now.
He's fighting a world dumb, guys. Come on, y'all.
All right, so Dale Jackson, we understand that you do not believe in discipline for your child, and Jeff Poore is not afraid to use the correct pronoun on somebody who wants to run as a transgender. So
I think we know who the conservative here is, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, fellas, I appreciate you both, and thank you very much for once again another amazing round of the Grand Council. That's Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of his own show, The Jeff Poore Show, and with 1819 News, and Dale Jackson, host of The Dale Jackson Show at WVNN up in Huntsville, and writes for Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.